Good afternoon, everybody out there in internet radio land, all around the world. This is me, Blake. How you doing? Welcome to the show, Gods and Goddesses, because you know what? We are gods and goddesses in the making. If we can die, and I don't mean to be morbid, but if we can die, we are gods in the making, right? Sometimes myself, and I know other people think they're invincible, but it's not true. We know it. I'm not trying to damper anything, but that's reality, and we have to face reality. And at the same time, enjoy the ride, because this is a beautiful world, a beautiful planet we're living in. I love my website and BBS Radio. If you check it out, you know what they created for me. That's the way I asked them to do it. All these stars, which are really suns in the background, very small, small suns, small stars, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally you've got our sun there with my face next to it. The title of my show, Gods and Goddesses. And we are co-creator gods in the making. And the point, one of the points I'm making is that there's a dragonfly flying around. He's looking at me. He's interested in what I'm saying, I think. Could be a probe from an extraterrestrial spacecraft. And by the way, welcome. Any ETs are listening to me from out there in outer space. I know you have the capability with your technology to tune in and see me right here in my back patio behind my house here in San Antonio, Texas. Anyway, gods and goddesses, the point is that we are all equal. You know, women have been a minority for a long time and are still treated badly, worse than dogs in some places around the world. You know that. And it's a shame, but it's understandable because everything, you know, everything that's been going on in our past, all the wars, the fighting, the killing, the mistreating, the slavery, it's all part of evolution. I'm sorry to say, if you think it's otherwise, you know, don't mean to burst your bubble, but that's the truth. When you start out a planet of first category, like our world is, compared to other categories of planets out there in the universe, all the way up to 9 as far as evolution and spiritual development is concerned, we're the low end of the totem pole. Yes, it's true. It is true. You have to believe me. You'll find out yourself someday. Hopefully before you cross over to the spirit lands. This world is a number one, which means around the universe, besides being a jewel of a planet, cobalt blue, floating in space, beautiful, 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 all kinds of life. I mean, so much variety of life, it's just amazing. I'm watching flies flying outside in the backyard, dragonflies, butterflies, birds, the cicadas sounding off in the distance. This is a veritable paradise. We're teeming with life here. But it's also known as the planet of sorrows. Everyone's always so sad. You notice that? It's rare that you see people laughing and with big smiles on their faces. Most of the time, people are sad or look to be angry. Why? Because that's evolution, my friends. And we're slowly evolving, don't you think? Compared to where we were like 2,000 years ago, you know, when Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, walked the earth. We've come a long way since then. I mean, technology-wise, for sure, with the Industrial Revolution, you know, we have ultra-modern vehicles now that traverse our sky, taking people places. You know, myself, I went to California last week to visit my son over the July 4th weekend. Two different jets, one from here to Dallas and one from Dallas to Bob Hope Airport in Burbank. And the first flight was about an hour, and the second flight was about 3 hours. It's amazing, you know. All of a sudden, I find myself in California, and It's like, hey, this is pretty cool, you know? Just a matter of hours, matter of hours, I'm here in California. Back in California, where I used to live all those years ago. I lived 9 years in San Diego. I lived about 15 months in Monterey, California, and about 15 months in San Francisco. Anyway, that's where Don and Doug came from, California. It's a different atmosphere there in California. You know, there in Burbank especially. My son, he lives with an actress, Hollywood actress, who is his manager. You know, she's about 70-some years old, and he's 27. So she's finding him these gigs, auditions to go to, roles to play, and, you know. We got this recent gig working for just like a series of show. You know, they have these pilots, right, where they find these really incredible actors or actresses, and they base the shows off them, you know. Actors and actresses who are really talented and have some great skills, you know. They do a pilot, maybe 7-8 shows. And then if the network likes them, then they're signed on for some more shows, another year, 2 years, several years, you know. So there's a guy on Saturday Night Live by the name of Kyle Mooney. And he's a really cool guy. I've seen him. So my son got to be his body double. If you're all familiar with that, I mean, for those that aren't familiar, it's like a stunt double. They do, they superimpose faces or the body on, at certain, in certain scenes, you know. And you got paid some good money for that. But he's still waiting to break into the scene, the acting scene, you know, the mainstream, the big time, you know, make it big time. And he's got a great manager in Terry Snell, who was the aunt in Home Alone 1 and 2. So I was there at their place for 3 nights. And in the living room on the walls, there's these huge posters, Home Alone 1 and 2. I was talking with Terry, and Home Alone 3 and 4 are different. They didn't bring back the same cast for 3 and 4, which is a big mistake, you know, trying to save money or who knows why. I forget what she told me. She might have told me, but anyway. So that's where my son is. We had a good time. We went to Malibu Beach one day. It was the 5th of July, day after the 4th, after Monday. We drove there. There was a lot of people, and I went into the water, and it was cold. California water off the coast is cold. Except for San Diego. I don't remember San Diego being too cold when I lived there. But Monterey, definitely freezing. San Francisco, cold. L.A., pretty much cold. Well, so how have you all been? I hope you've been well. And I don't really plan anything for my shows. I like them to be spontaneous, you know, whatever comes to mind. But I did plan on telling you about a couple of things that were on my mind. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, what I do, and that is working out, exercising. My favorite exercise now, I've been doing it for a while, quite a few years actually, is I'll go to the track, you know, like one of these rubber tracks, 400 yards, meters, and a walk around them, and then sprint. So I'll walk a couple of laps, breathing into my nose. I'll get to the third lap, and I'll run like it'd be 60, 70 meters sprinting, you know, full out. Full power, you know, 100%. And then I'll walk around to the other side, walk around the turns, and then run the flats, you know. Today I did 5 that way, then walked about half a lap back to my car. So that's what I do for exercise, and I think it's the best for me. I've been experimenting with running. You know, when I was in the Army, I used to run 1 mile, 2 miles, 5 miles, 5Ks, 10Ks, 10 miles. I ran 2 half marathons. Never ran a full marathon, but nowadays, I've tried to run like a mile, 2 miles, and it's just not the same. It doesn't feel good for my body. And that's why you might have heard of the run, walk, run method, because it lessens injuries, you know, helps you to recover from the stiffness that running can give to you, you know, in the knees and in the back. And so I would recommend that for anybody. Why, what, do you ask, is that so good? Because, my friends, when you run, when you sprint, it's got so many benefits. Check it out on the internet. When you're going full power like that, you're using all your muscles, your fast twitch muscles. It's good for testosterone, you know. It releases more endorphins into your brain. It helps with your circulation, of course. It gets your heart beating. That's the main thing. It gets your heart beating faster. You know, they say all exercise you do, you're supposed to try to achieve your maximum heart rate. So sprinting will do that. Just a 50-meter, at least 50-meter sprint will bring your heart rate up almost to the max for your age. And when you run on a track, you know, you've got that benefit of the rubber to lessen the impact. And so that's a pretty big consideration. And also, it doesn't take a lot of time, you know, compared to if you want to jog for 2 to 3 miles, it's going to take about 30 minutes, right? But you can get the benefits of running just by sprinting. It's called high intensity training, and that's what I do. But don't take my word for it. Or if you've been sedentary and not doing any exercise and you're getting old, just check with your doctor first, right? So that's what I do for my exercises. I love it. You know, I feel so confident afterwards after sprinting. You ought to try it. You know what I'm talking about. If you have, you feel good afterwards because you know that you can move that body to full speed, you know, and it helps with my breathing too at night. It exercises not only the heart, but the lungs too. And you don't want to over-exercise yourself because it tears the body down. You see a picture of a marathon guy who's been running marathons for years, and somebody who's like an Olympic sprinter. Compare the bodies, you know, one body like Usain Bolt. A marathon guy will have very little body fat, thin arms and legs, really thin, you know. And the Olympic sprinter has muscles all over the body, you know, in the arms, especially in the shoulders, and lean stomachs, you know, no body fat. Kind of like, well, the marathon runner too, but I prefer the sprinting. Check it out. You can go on the internet. There's like 15. I remember reading in one website where they said there's 15 benefits for sprinting. And you might think it's harder on your body, but it's not when you combine it with walking. So that's my tip, one of my tips. And then what else do I do? I sleep with a wedge pillow. That works good for me. I've tried sleeping without a pillow. I've been doing a lot of research, you know, because I'm almost 67 years old. And you know, when the body starts to degenerate, my friends, then you try to pull out all the stops, so to speak, to ensure your longevity. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? So a wedge pillow works well for me. You know, we've got a memory foam mattress. I think those are the best. NASA developed that. It adapts to your body, you know, cradles all the contours of your body. And a wedge pillow is the best for me because I sleep on my back only. And I'll do that because I can't sleep on my side anymore. Maybe it might be because of the kidney donation, donating one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995. But wedge pillows, if you get a good one, you know, from Amazon or wherever, you stay on your back. It kind of lifts that upper body up and you can breathe a little bit clearer. Although I was trying, there are times when I sleep without a pillow. The last 7 years in the Army, I did that, and I was doing okay. You know, I could breathe better because I know I've got a kind of like a crick in my neck from hyperextension injury when I was young. So I'm not your ordinary kind of human being, and my requirements are not the same as your average human being, so to speak, because I have this injury, my neck and my back. But anyway, what else do I do? I take cold showers. And again, look on the internet. There's all kinds of advantages to taking cold showers. The art of manliness, they say, is tough too. Even in this wintertime, even in the wintertime, you can take cold showers. And surprisingly, it'll help you deal with the cold weather better. And what does that do? It's good for the circulation, you know, it gets the blood flowing, gets the heart beating faster. And so the blood is circulating better. You know, when you get, when you're in cold water, the blood comes towards the, it flows towards the organs to protect the organs. You take a hot shower, blood comes towards the skin, you know. And it's better for the hair and skin. Everyone knows that, you know. My mother always told me, and she had, she was 81 when she passed away. She said, Blake, if you use shampoo, always rinse it with cool water. I always remember that. She had mostly black hair at age 81, very few gray hairs. You know, isn't that amazing? That was her secret. Plus, she used to wash her hair underneath the sink. That worked well for her. And for, check it out if you want to read on the internet, the advantages of cold showers. And if you're a nervous type, you're a shy type, and you're about to get in a public speaking situation, take a cold shower that morning. I guarantee you it'll help you develop a little more courage. You know what I mean? That's another thing they say about it. It's also, I mentioned, it's also supposed to be good too for testosterone, you know, because they say that hot water actually can decrease the number of sperm cells in a man. That's what it says on the internet. I believe it. Anyway, so that might be with erectile dysfunction. Excuse my being frankness. That might be one thing that contributes to that. Take cold showers. This is in the summertime here in San Antonio. I mean, why would anybody want to take a hot shower? I think one of the dogs wants to come out. There's Shakira. Don't you start barking now. I'm on my show, Shakira. Anyway, she always keeps me company. When I'm here working, out here teleworking, she's always keeping me company. And professional development, singing, you know, I sing. And I've got all these songs that I know. I've mentioned to everyone on previous shows that one of the best things I've done in my life is go to the Wounded Warriors on Fort Sam Houston and sing for the Wounded Warriors. Since 2013, I was going once a month, usually on days where they have lunch, and singing from 11:30 to 1300, 11:30 to 1 p.m., hour and a half. I've got all these songs. Let me just tell you some of these songs that I know. I know over 100, easily over 100. I haven't counted recently. I've been more like 125. I'm knowing the new songs all the time. So I've got a list here of all the songs I know, and I've memorized all these songs. And they're geared towards helping the wounded warriors. They deal with subjects like God, nature, and love. And any issues that they might be going through. I've always been a big John Denver fan. You've heard about John Denver. He died, I forget when it was, in Monterey. I think back in the 90s, in an airplane crash, one of those private airplanes, do-it-yourself airplanes that he put together, ran out of gas, crashed in Monterey Bay. What a waste of talent. I met him one time. So he's got some really great songs like Rocky Mountain High. And he was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found a key to every door. Well, I did. That's talking about me, obviously. You know, I feel that way sometimes. People are talking about me. Sunshine on My Shoulders. That's another song I know. Sunshine on my shoulders. makes me happy. Sunshine in my eye. Hey, what you doing disturbing me? Another dog just ran back by me there. In my eyes can make me cry. And then there's a song called Fly Away. You know. Fly away. All of the days have gone soft and cloudy. All of the days have gone dry. All of our nights have gone fair and shady. She's getting ready to fly, fly away. And then there's Annie's song. You fill up my senses like a night in the forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. And Take Me Home, Country Roads. Remember that one? Almost Heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. I belong. And when I sing that with music, I do use my falsetto voice for that. Otherwise, I'll have to start a little bit lower, you know. Oh, the life of a singer. You don't know what it's like unless you try it yourself, right? So it's like, oh, hold on. Oh, a dog just came in. I can blame that on my dog, right? She distracted me. So it would be more like, you fill up my senses like a night in the forest. No, I was on the other song. Take Me Home, Country Roads. Almost Heaven, West Virginia. Anyway, moving on. Then there are the Eagles, Desperado. Desperado. Why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one. Oh, you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you. Here comes the ice cream truck. Hey, you're bothering me. You're ruining my song. And then there's Hotel California. On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair. And you know, when I sing at the Wounded Warriors, and I sing these songs, I'm a professional singer. You know, I mean, I sing these songs beautifully. I do. I must say so myself, you know, with all humbleness, all humility. I am an excellent singer, and I recognize that. You know, I just got to tell you that. I'm just no slouch. I mean, I've been practicing a lot for years. You know, that's what it takes, practice. Lion Eyes, I know that song inside and out. Ice Cream Truck, why don't you? You hear it in the background there. Anyway, Lion Eyes. City girls just seem to find out early how to open doors with just a smile. A rich old man, she won't have to worry. She'll dress up all in lace, go inside. Yeah, the ice cream truck is in the background there. And yeah, we should go somewhere else, but maybe someone's buying some ice cream. out front here, out front of my house. Anyway, Tequila Sunrise. It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky. Said goodbye. He was just a hired hand, working on the dreams he planned. You try singing with an ice cream truck and a song loud. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't try singing right now, but I know some of the other songs are Take It to the Limit, Take It Easy, Taking It Easy. Well, I've been running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. Four that want to owe me, two that want to sell me. One, she says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Hey, the ice cream truck's gone. It was disappearing in the distance. I like Lion Eyes, going back to Lion Eyes. City girls just seem to find out early how to open doors with just a smile. A rich old man, she won't have to worry. Dress up all in lace and go inside. Late at night, a big old house gets lonely. I guess every form of refuge has its price. And it breaks her heart to think her love is only given to a man with hands as cold as ice. So she tells him she must go out for the evening. Comfort an old friend who's feeling down. He knows where she's going as she's leaving. She's headed for the cheating side of town. You can't hide your lying eyes, and your smile is a thin disguise. I thought by now you'd realize there ain't no way to hide your lying eyes. And I know, Take It to the Limit. How's that go now? Trying to remember. Take it to the limit one more time. I can't remember that right now. I'll come back to it. Come back. Then there's Peaceful Easy Feeling. And that goes, I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight, with a million stars all around. And I get a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on the ground. And then there's Seven Bridges Road. One of the dogs wants to, you want to come in? You want to go into the house? Come on then. You've got to make your mind up. You can't just keep coming. Seven Bridges Road. It goes, there are stars in the southern sky, southward as you go. There there is moonlight and moss in the trees down the Seven Bridges Road. All alone at the end of the evening, and the bright lights have faded to blue. I was thinking about a woman who might love me, but I never knew. Let's take it to the limit. It came back to me. And then The Best of My Love by the Eagles. Late at night, I'm lying in bed, holding you close in my dreams, thinking about all the things that you said, coming apart at the seams. We tried to talk it over, but the words came out too rough. I know you were trying to give me the best of your love. Oh, 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 sweet darling, you get the best of my love. So that's the Eagles, and I know the Beatles. So Beatles songs I know are Hey Jude, and I know all of these songs, you know. I know all the words. I'm not going to spend time singing each one. That would take too long. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world up on your shoulders. And Let It Be. I know Let It Be. Just took a drink of water and gotta take another one. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. Oh my God, there she is. It's Mother Mary. Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Just kidding. Anyway, I believe, you know, when you go to heaven, when we get to heaven, she's going to be there, and she's one of the most beautiful spirits, you know, there. Just, and very highly respected and admired. Just totally gorgeous, beautiful, shining with light, brilliant, beautiful beyond your wildest imagination, you know, beyond comprehension, so beautiful. Because when you get a lot of people thinking about you, praising you and singing songs to you and worshiping you, and like Catholics do, for one thing, that it grows you, you know. And when you grow in light, you know, that's one thing when we get to heaven. I've said this in other shows before. When you get to heaven, that's good. You made it. That's wonderful. You kneel down and kiss the ground, you know, and say, this is wonderful, I made it. And there's going to be trees of life everywhere with fruit on them. The river of life with crystal clear water, beautiful, pure water, which you can actually drink. There are fields of green grass, just beautiful green. All the colors are so much more intense in heaven. Fields of wheat, just golden fields of wheat. They grow vegetables there too. Mountains, valleys, oceans, besides the river of life which flows from the throne, it is inside the holy city, which is separate from the outskirts of heaven. And then there's chariots, like roads that where the chariots go, you know, kind of like a highway, interstate highway, but therefore the chariots of heaven, which are usually driven by angels. So there's angels everywhere also. Are you picturing this, you know? Because I learned it from other people. Also, you've got people that live on earth, now passed away, but used to live here like we are living right now. From all different cultures. I mean, there's no religion in heaven. There's only the Mother and Father God, Jesus who died on the cross, Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, unless they've reincarnated. Because those are two different Jesus. Another story, long story, which I've said before in other shows, so I don't want to spend the time to go into it right now, but you can check it out on the internet, you know. And then there's all of the patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, unless some of them have reincarnated. But I think they're waiting around because, you know, it's going to be a grand reunion when we get there one day. And we'll be able to be back together again, like one big family. And then, you know, after we spend some time in heaven, then we reincarnate and go to other planets in our galaxy or another galaxy. You know, and be born again on another planet. Yes, born again on another planet. You just can't remember. We can't remember. We are made not to remember our pre-existence, where we came from. Because that's the nature of this planet. Can't everybody want planets like that. But more than likely, you know, if you graduate from this planet with flying colors, in other words, if you develop yourself spiritually, if you're a good person, if you're kind and generous, kind to other people, friendly, loving, then you will graduate from this Category 1 planet of lowest evolutionary scale, unless you're an old soul that has come back here, that has come here to help other people, other souls, you know. But I think there's not too many young souls here on Earth. There are some, but not many. But the planet itself, you have to understand, is going through evolution. The planet, Mother Gaia, our world, is also evolving. Planets evolve too. They're in their own right. They are cosmic beings. They are alive. Planets are alive. We haven't noticed, you know. There's trees everywhere, flowers, grass, bushes, plant, matter of all types. And underneath the surface of the earth, then you have the shifting of the tectonic plates, and there's the iron core at the center of the earth, you know, which is like molten lava. And then you have the atmosphere above the earth, you know, moving all the time, clouds going across the sky. Our planet is a living being, if you will, if you understand what I'm saying. And it, too, is evolving. And so when we were born into this planet, we had to realize, you know, that not all planets in the universe are like this, you know. Here you've got animals eating each other, insects, birds eating insects. You know, it's a tough place to live. You know, in that kind of environment, that's why there's been a lot of fighting and killing in the past, because we're affected by that and other things as well. I mean, there's many different ways to die, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, volcanoes exploding, earthquakes, storms, you know, lightning, not to mention insects that are poisonous, snakes that are poisonous. You go in grizzly bear country or wolf country, you realize you're not at the top of the food chain unless you have a gun, you know. So I'm not saying it's bad. It's beautiful. It's still beautiful. But the fact is, This is not this is the lowest of the evolved planets. But we are evolving, and so is Mother Gaia. It's a slow process, but it's great. You know, the supreme creator of the universe has created the universe that way, so that all the sentient beings like us can evolve and go through that incarnation, one life after another cycle, and learn, experience new things, and take that knowledge from one life to the other until you get to the point where you're a co-creator God yourself. That's why I say it, and why I say that we are co-creator gods in the making. And I just like talking about this stuff. You know, you got to be brave to talk about these kinds of subjects. But you know what they say about the USA, home of the brave, right? So it's a good thing to be courageous and not be afraid of talking about some subjects, you know. Reality, my friends, 40,000 people are dying in the world today, each day, at least 40,000. 40,000, and some of them, it was a waste of their lives. They came here, they didn't know what was really going on, that they were even going to... I saw a near-death experience on YouTube, this guy said. He was shocked. He worked with the, you know, electricity, fixing the telephone poles, you know, the electricity. Actually, he was in one of those kind of like cars that they lift up off the ground, you know, to fix the telephone wires, the electric wires. And he got shaken. I guess it made a sudden movement, and he had a couple of ribs that were broken, and I think one of his lungs was close to being punctured. And he went into the hospital, and he was trying to tough it through, but he was pretty seriously injured, and he couldn't breathe too well, and so he finally flatlined, and he had this near-death experience. And he saw his father, and he said that, you know, he was brought up to be tough and not show any love and not hug anybody. You know, his father didn't hug his father. He was kind of physically abused. His father didn't give him hardly any love. And so in that reincarnation cycle, which is true, you know, it's why you have nine planets, nine categories of planets. There's a dragonfly looking at me out there. And check out the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. It's an amazing read, and you can learn all about it. Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or Thiaouba, Thiaouba. And it talks about that kind of thing. And I look at it, there's a lot of near-death experiences on YouTube, people that say they met God, you know. And I've talked about this in other shows before in the past. Indeed, the universe, you know, is so incomprehensibly large. And we start out, and we evolve. Myself, I can't remember how many past lives I've had. Maybe it's a good thing that I can't remember. I consider myself an advanced soul, I think. But you do have to be brave, you know, to talk about this. And so that guy said, he thought, you know, and a lot of people think, and that's the point I was making, that when they die, that's it. He was saying that on YouTube, on his video. He was saying, he always thought that when you die, that's it. You know, everything just, the light goes off, and you're dead, and that's it. You don't continue to live. But he found out differently. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people are dying nowadays. I was saying 40,000 each day. People are dying without knowing who they are, their inner nature, their spirit. And it's a shame, isn't it? It's a waste of time. When you come here and you're supposed to be learning spirituality, you have a mission. Your mother and father God gave you a mission. If you're female, I think mother God gave it to you. You stood in front of her brilliance and glory. And that's another thing, too. When you get to heaven, you've got to be able to withstand the brilliance and glory of the spirit mother and father. If you want to stand before them in their presence, you're going to be washed over with light like you can't imagine. The power of light is an awesome thing, my friends. And unless you're sufficiently developed spiritually and evolved, you're not going to be able to handle it. You'll have to hang around in the outer edges of heaven, eating fruit from the tree of life, smelling the leaves of the nations to strengthen your spirituality. Because not only that, but the learning goes on in heaven. It doesn't stop. You continue to grow and develop spiritually. That's what I've learned from other people. There's so many books out there, you know. And yes, you do have to be brave to talk about it, but that's my show. Have you listened to my show before? I talk about this all the time. I'm not frightened by it too much. And guess what? I'm still alive after all these years. Will I make it to a ripe old age? I don't know. I'm hoping to. I'd like to live to be 100. But, you know, hey, I haven't even had a near-death experience. Some of these people, they've gone to heaven. They've met God. They've met Jesus. They met Mother Mary. They met all the patriarchs of the Bible. Abraham, when you get to heaven, one of the people you meet is our father, Abraham, who we all descended from, they say. I mean, if you trace your family tree back, I've traced my family tree all the way back to 1610 in the London area. My parents were English. So I know I've got English ancestry, but you know it goes on well before that. Each and every one of us, we could trace our family tree. We should be able to trace our family tree. We just don't have records of it back thousands of years. Isn't that right? I mean, that's logical. Thousands and thousands of years, maybe millions of years back to the first humans that walked on this earth. We're descended, you know, we're related. That's logical. You can't deny it. It's irrefutable. You know, that'd be an amazing thing. I think also when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to find out, we're going to be able to trace our family tree all the way back to the first person who walked on this earth. Some of the first people that were here on earth. You know, it's just logical. You can't deny logic. Another thing I was going to say, changing the subject, and, you know, I told you that I'm a sprinter myself. I love to sprint. I love to feel my body sprinting down the track, going full speed, fast as my legs can carry me. You know, my arms are pumping. My heart's beating fast. And it feels good. And there's not a lot of impact, really, just for that short distance, and it's really easier than jogging for like a mile, I found, and just as beneficial, if not more. But have you watched the Olympic trials going on? You know, they're over now, but and the Olympics are going to start pretty soon. So I've been watching the sprinting. I have been a big Usain Bolt fan over the years. I saw him in 2016. I've saw him before that at World Championships, and I think the 2012 Olympics in London and the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. You know, he's such a friendly guy, you know, and just a great sense of humor, joking around all the time. And so now we've got a different setup with sprinters on the U.S. team. I don't know about the other countries. Jamaica usually has some really good people. I know they've got Shelly Ann Fraser-Price, who's one of the best female sprinters in the world. But I was really bummed out to hear that Sha'Carri Richardson, who came in first with the U.S. Olympic team track and field 100-meter run, she was first, and she had a really good time, almost a record time. And now she's been banned from the games because she tested positive for THC. And I'm like, oh, man, these people. And they think they're so smart, they're going to try to make it fair, you know, because they say, you know, I stop. I just, you know, I say to myself, wait a second. I bet you 10 years from now you're going to change your mind about this like you've done before in the past. You know, once upon a time, I don't think there's one single state where it was legal to smoke marijuana, to have marijuana for recreational use. Now, in my mind, I can't see much difference between smoking tobacco or smoking marijuana. You know, yeah, one leaf is a little different. You know, it's got different chemicals in it, but still, if you want to fill your lungs with smoke, that's up to you. You have the free will to do that. No one should tell you as a human being what you can or can't do, as long as you don't bother anyone else. And usually that means getting in your car and driving somewhere. As long as you don't do that, then if you're in the comfort of your own home, you should be able to do what you want to do. And competing with other people in front of the world, I say let them go at it. They want to take performance-enhancing drugs, go for it. Do it. I don't mind. Think about Eliud Kipchoge, the marathon master. He's got the fastest marathon time in the world. Now, that guy has run so many marathons. So are you going to tell him, you know, he eats this very special kind of African food that's kind of like oatmeal, and that gives him the strength to do these marathons? Are you going to tell him that he can't eat performance-enhancing food? Now, there's a difference between food and drugs, I know, but whether someone wants to take smoke marijuana, and I really don't think THC is a performance-enhancing drug, you know, but it's on their list. It's more like she said she took it because her mother had just died and she wanted to boost her mood, you know. It's not performance-enhancing. Even mothers of children, I think, yes, growing up, they need to give them guidance, but when they reach that age where they move away from home, they're on their own, they should be able to do what they want to do. They want to drink a whole bottle of whiskey, they can do that, you know. I really couldn't wait till I moved away from home because I was tired of my parents telling me what to do. But, you know, we need their guidance so that we don't die in early age, you know, do the wrong thing, die of a drug overdose or whatever, or alcohol poisoning. But with competition like that, I say, you know, go for it. If it makes your body work better, why not? Why all this concern about performance enhancing? Leave it open for everybody who wants to do it and just watch and see what happens. You know, Mark McGwire, they said that he took steroids. He hit like 70-some homers one year. Who was that guy, the bicyclist Lance Owens, I think his name was? Lance Armstrong, that's it. They said that he was taking performance-enhancing drugs. Well, maybe others were taking it also, you know? I say, don't tell people what to do. Yes, it's competition, and maybe you're trying to make it fair, but just let them go at it. Let the chips fall where they may. It's like when I saw Mr. Trump debate Mr. Biden the first time. You know, they were getting into it. It was going back and forth. But no, they had to stop it. You can only talk at a certain time. You only have to answer, you have to answer questions only. You know, that goes from one to the other. You have only a couple minutes to talk. You know, it would have been the greatest entertainment, the most incredibly interesting and entertaining thing if they could have just said, okay, go at it for as long as you want. Just debate it out. There's not going to be a narrator. Just don't come around and start getting into fisticuffs with each other, okay? Keep it, I mean, don't resort to violence, but work it out. 2 hours, 3 hours, it would have been the best entertainment. The ratings would have gone through the roof, I guarantee it. But no, we had to stop it. You know, we're just not doing things the right way. And so I noticed you, Carrie Richardson, her heart is broken because I was looking forward to seeing her win the gold medal, and now she's busted, came positive, tested positive for THC. You know what? I don't swear. I'm not a swearing person, but I won't say it. I won't go there. But, you know, I feel for her, and I know, you think now how many states and where she's from, Oregon, it's legal to smoke marijuana. One of the problems of this world, and I don't care who you are out there listening to me right now, because you're wrong, you just can't tell people what to do. As long as it doesn't harm other people, let them do what they want to do. And maybe, you know, things will work out just fine. I think they will. All right. So going back to changing the subject again, going back to my songs, I said, all these songs, all these Beatles songs, you want to know a secret? Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words I long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. What else? Yesterday. Yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday. What else? I feel fine. Baby said, how's it start? Baby's good to me, you know. She's happy as can be, you know. She said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby said she's mine, you know. She tells me all the time, you know. She said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know. She said so. I should have known better. That's a good song. I should have known better with a girl like you. That I would love everything that you do. 30 seconds. Oh, my God. Time has flown by. So, my friends, thank you for listening. I've had a good time. Hope you had, too. I love you. And may the creator of the universe bless us and protect us. Everybody, creator, you're awesome. Talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.